This is Hybrid Teaching, Pedagogy, People, Politics, a serialized audiobook addressing the intersections of pedagogy and power in our connected and challenging education environment. It's the audio version of the open access collection of the same name, published in February 2021. The book features 27 chapters of provocative text addressing the intersections of critical pedagogy and digital technology in our present political moment. I'm your host, Chris Friend, from Kane University. I introduce your authors and read the occasional chapter. This podcast provides one more avenue for accessing the material from the book, which is also available as an ebook, a print-on-demand paperback, a series of articles published on the open web, and screen and print-ready PDFs available for free on Hybrid Pedagogy. This is Chapter 8 of Part 3 Politics, and you'll hear Ghost Towns of the Public Good, originally published on the 9th of December, 2013, on Hybrid Pedagogy. It was written by Pat Lockley. I never really got tenure as a concept, and after almost 10 years of e-learning, I finally found a job which didn't feature a ticking clock time bomb as its soundtrack. Sadly, in this sound of silence came a new friend, a broken camel's back, and I'd broken become beladen with an LMS anthropy which was destined to push me away. Perhaps I have commitment issues. Perhaps I'd spent so long searching for a brand that I'd grown tired of red-hot metal LinkedIn endorsements. I've never had so many valued skills but found less demand for them. Part Bitcoin, part bit part. Be your own bubble. Pop. I'd seen glorious projects I'd made die. In one instance, the world's biggest open education search engine, something you'd assume would be celebrated and honored, slowly grind itself into obsolescence. You'd sneak out of the academy, flirt with organizations that felt so fresh, and find the same thing. You'd see stuff you built for free be replaced with a Kickstarter-funded project because, well, they had the funds and they knew how to kick you in the teeth when you're down. Often, even after leaving one institution, I'd find myself returning to fix things because I'd not been replaced. A sense of parental care drove me to maintain things I used to get paid to do. Time, though, made me a horrible father. Sometimes I would sit round and watch things die, or just leave and hope something would save them. Sometimes you had to let code fly the nest. Sometimes you took a stand. Sometimes you'd finish building before flirting with the next project. So each contract was a sudden burst of joyous activity, and you could forget, maybe for a few beautiful months, that it would die. Marrying the mayfly, doomed before it started. But you just thought if you believed it would work, that this time it could be different. But sooner or later someone would say three little words. No money left. All you could do was hope you'd made some good enough memories. Maybe, maybe, maybe if you just worked harder, it would get through to the higher management and they'd love it enough to give it more money. So workdays stretched as hope faded and you could rage, and how we would rage, against the coming of the night. Each failure, marked with more scar tissue, see the aforementioned spinal snap page, was another soul-sucking investigation into why it had happened again. You hoped those memories would be enough to counter how everything would become seen as a mistake. How we didn't make it sustainable, how there wasn't demand, how they'd love to work together again, how they'd tried hard, how come it had to end. The answer? Because it just does. Maybe one day we'd get a contract for longer than a year, and then we could show them. We could spend a year building something excellent. Then, as programmers, we'd have time to understand marketing or promotion or sustainability or community development so we could make sure the project would have enough supporters that it'd not die. And once or twice, we got close. We built a glorious bridge to allow people to make the land so often promised. The interface made sense. The tool was useful. It would actually work and achieve real benefits. People would ignore the bridge. People would cross the water on stilts made of razor blades as you watched. People would swim over in lead costumes as you looked on. People would drink the sea just to walk across as you looked on. Every scar from every other memory made no sense as uglier, functionally poorer, cumbersome systems won out. You couldn't defeat the millions of a venture capitalist. You couldn't get round the mana-funded marketing of eponymous foundations. Kickstarter finished things for you. The reason? Because money just does. And so, like every fairy tale, the bridge has its use as the roof of a home for a troll, embittered by years of tiptoeing, traduced by one giant stride of waiting patiently for anyone to be interested in e-learning, and then watching the MOOC sweep away all before it like low-cost locust conquistadors. Or always being the tortoise that never beats the hare. Big companies just can't listen, and they don't need to either. What good is a teacher's voice when lost in translation through a system which doesn't hear them? So you try to build something different. You try to placate the LMS hatred, which seems to be everywhere. By when? Yesterday? Or in under 6 months? You could dream of someone tweeting your project into a top 10 things. One day you might even make a national paper. What good is forever if you can be replaced in an evening? Why stay when the first few months work best? Why not just drift? Because our solution never taught millions, but you never asked it to. Because our solution didn't work on Wonder Gadget Name Goes Here, because they're brand new. Because our solution doesn't work for you, but you never tell us why. Because you don't know anyone using us, as if we all have I less than 3 Microsoft on our Twitter bios. Because the contract is 6 months, as the institution is still uncertain. Because e-learning is old enough to draw a pension, and it still remains a pilot or an experiment. Because outside of blogs and tweets, we never ever really spoke to each other, did we? We never even told each other what we wanted or what we could do. We ended up taking shots and stabs in the dark and expected no one to get hurt. Tenure, temporary, are the words of those divided and conquered, and the cliches of university life. Conversations always turned to money, as if dollar signs replaced full stops. So much did funding dominate conversation. Even talking about an idea meant you'd need to know how to pay for it. You can run the bath for your eureka moment, but you'd better believe the water will be ice cold till you pay your way. If you believe in a public good or a public service, then how can that be married to a deadline or funding? Innately, we become volunteers, sporadically paid, occasionally valued, while the temples fill with traitors. How does a 6-month developer build for a future they'll never see? How does a 1-year-long project not become another experiment, where experiment is just a justification for myopia, seeing everything through 6-month eyes? Another gold rush, another ghost town, with ghost suburbs, ghost malls, and ghost schools. It doesn't take an expert to see the neglect inherent in short-term projects once the beans are counted. And we wonder why no one wants to use e-learning software. When you ask why it doesn't do X, the answer is no funding. Always no funding. So why stick around to make such temporary things when you can set yourself free to listen, to grow, to develop, to build sustainably? Every time the money runs out, all that lost momentum starts to leave voids in need of filling. University work becomes more whole than thing. Unfinished sympathies. Nature abhors a vacuum, and silence is just a space noise hasn't found. That was Ghost Towns of the Public Good, originally published on the 9th of December, 2013, on Hybrid Pedagogy. It was written by Pat Lockley. Pat is peripatetic. His interests include sailing closer to the wind, walking closer to the truth. He makes things with love and hope, believing a better world is possible. He takes time to trespass, and he impersonates a penguin online. Just search for PGOGY. Well, that's it for this episode. Next time, you'll hear EdTech in a Time of Trump by Audrey Waters. This serialized audiobook version of Hybrid Teaching, Pedagogy, People, Politics is available wherever you find podcasts. I'm Chris Friend, collection editor, podcast producer, and host. I tweet at Chris_Friend and teach at Kane University in Union, New Jersey. The theme music for this project is Where Was I? From Lee Rosevere. That song, as well as the text and audio of Hybrid Teaching, are all licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, which means they can be reused with author acknowledgement. Licenses like these make multimedia works like this simpler to create, and I'm especially grateful to each of the authors for allowing their material to be reused in this format. And I'm also grateful to you. Thanks for listening.